News Radio WGPF, 118th State Representative Natalie Phillips Finney is joining us in the studio this morning. First off, Natalie, it's good to see you again.
You too, Tom. Good morning.
How's the campaigning?
It's going great. Going very well.
Yeah, doing a lot of door-to-door.
Lots of door-to-door, and just, you know, it's great to talk to the people.
What do they say when you talk to them? What are they, in particular, what do they worry about?
Yeah, you know, a variety of issues depending on the community, but I'd say the biggest problem is property taxes and just in general feeling like we're taxed out.
Yeah. So let's talk about this.
Okay.
You've had to make a transition, you know, and we were talking about it during the break before we got on this morning, that transition, you know, where your background in medical field to politics, right? And so your perspective changes. And then at the same time, right, new to the office, never been in politics, never been in elected office before. So you come into the situation where you come into awareness, right, and then you start developing convictions based on the information, and you've done a lot of information gathering. So in that process, what have you defined, what have you kind of distilled down as to the must-fix item with the state of Illinois?
Sure. Well, that's a loaded question, and it can be overwhelming, Tom, for sure. But I really believe when you look at our area, it's not just Southern Illinois that's dying. It's rural America. And I've read just recently a fascinating book on this subject, and I believe it's as simple as greed. That's what we have. We have a greed problem. And until we level the playing field and we give our people some relief, we're going to continue to die.
Greed on whose part?
I believe our millionaires and billionaires need to be paying more.
But also, doesn't government have a greed problem?
I agree, absolutely. So when we take in revenue, we need to be accountable and responsible, make sure we're spending it on what we said we would spend it on. And I don't believe it's acceptable to borrow from other funds. That's not the way it should be done.
All right. When it comes to this, you know, we have gotten behind. And if anybody knows about behind in bills, it's medicals, nursing homes in particular. I said I've got a friend of mine in northeastern Illinois, western Illinois, rather, that I think he's on his fifth mortgage for his home to be able to pay all the bills at his nursing home, all right, to keep the doors open. And we see this in a lot of forms, but we're over, last time I checked this earlier in the week, was around $7.2 billion backlog of bills.
Yes.
Some people saying not enough taken out of this year's budget to be able to address this. We're hovering $7.2 billion in unpaid bills in this country, in
right.
this state, rather.
That's right.
How do we fix it?
So even Republicans I've talked to and many that I have become, I would say, quite close with at the state level who have tremendous experience. One in particular who worked under Governor Edgar and Thompson, worked for the United Nations, is now back under Rauner. I had this specific conversation with him. Excellent person, brilliant, and a good Christian man. And I asked him, how do we get out of this? He said, Natalie, there is no way we can cut our way out of this. We have to increase revenue. So the question is, how do we do that? And I can tell you right now, it's not going to be on the backs of middle-class families down here in Southern Illinois.
Well, it's more of a how. From a how, it's a who to you do it to, isn't it?
It can be. I think there's lots of options we can look at. One thing I mentioned was, you know, millionaires and billionaires paying their fair share. Tom, when I first went to Springfield, the very first thing I asked my administrator there in the office to do was have the Department of Revenue to come in and talk with me and teach me, because you can't come into this saying, I know it all, and it's there's too much. And taxes are certainly the same. I can look at a percent, but that doesn't tell the whole story. So as I was in my office with the Department of Revenue, learning about, you know, what our structure is, we started talking about corporate taxes and about loopholes and exemptions. And I paused for a moment and I said, hang on, how much of our state revenue comes from corporate taxes? And there was a very long, dramatic pause, and I thought I'd stump them. No, the lady finally spoke up and said, most corporations in Illinois pay no tax.
Yeah, seen this. This has been going on federal and state level for quite some time.
Right.
I remember when IBM, I think, paid $14.
Right.
But that's been a long time when IBM was somebody.
Sure.
All right. The other item here, right? Paying your fair share, and property taxes play a role. But that's also a subtext, because in your district, right, because we talk about the exodus out of Illinois, you've got an exodus out of your district. And you can take a look at the census numbers and see the loss of population in Saline County, and it almost corresponds right down to the same number of people who moved into Williamson County and specifically Marion.
Sure.
There's a kind of a move inside, because that's where the jobs are. And you and I, you know, we came up in the environment was there were no jobs, there's no jobs, there's no jobs, to now we've got jobs and no employees.
That's exactly right. When I talked to the Department of Economic Opportunity, these are the things we discussed, and they said, Natalie, there are jobs, and there's some good-paying jobs out there. We have, because we've had such a loss of people, many who are left behind are, you know, have been in the cycle so long of generational poverty. We may not have the job skills or the life skills that we need. So we have to be very intentional, Tom, about making sure we have procedures in place, because they've even told me what we're doing and the training we're doing is not enough. We have to change the system and get people moved out of generational poverty. And then we also do need new jobs, because we need to move some new people in here, right, to help us.
And in your district, it seems to be vocational training, high school level, and then a big emphasis on Southeastern Illinois College and their vocational programs. That's the way I see it.
Absolutely. There is no question that, you know, not everyone is going to go to get a 4-year or beyond degree academically. My husband is a case in point. He's, you know, family farm, raising those cattle, and college was not for him. He does know how to weld, and those things are important. We need blue collar workers. We need skilled plumbers and electricians,
lathe operators,
and it starts in high school. These kids need training. This is good for them. It's also good therapy for them to be working with their hands.
Right. I remember our vocational program at Harrisburg High School when they had one for automotive, a former Chicago Bears player. And you learned how to fix a car.
That's right. Right? That's right. Everybody needs to know that.
And on the list goes. Property taxes. The other context is we're paying more in property taxes than we are in our mortgages. It costs more to keep our house on the behalf of the government than it is to purchase the home. Property taxes is an unending thing. I'm down at the Dairy Bar in Golconda. And mm-hmm. So what's happening in Golconda? And we've got a conversation going, saying people are moving out mm-hmm. because they can't afford the taxes in town. So they're moving just outside of town, trying to get out of that.
Right.
And then you've got Illinois, where they say, I'll just move to Paducah.
Right.
Property taxes.
So property taxes are, for me, it's something I really actually despise, because, like you said, it feels at some point like, do I really own my home? Am I renting it from the government? So I have never been a fan of property taxes. You know, I remember, Tom, way back when my dad was in this very position, I remember him talking about property tax. He was for getting rid of property tax. You know, that's complicated. We have a lot of services that rely, like our schools, right, on property taxes. But I think down the road, it's, you know, as we go, it's something we can look at. Now, with the new funding formula, the evidence-based model that was passed, we should start to see some property tax relief in the horizon, because we are putting more state funding into our schools. And so there's actually a caveat written into the evidence-based model for property tax relief. In fact, the lower the property tax and that availability there for local resources, the more state funding the schools will get.
What is intrinsic into your district that needs to be made, that's just really about your district, that you'd like to see happen, you'd like to see affected when it comes to change?
I think the generational poverty that, really? I was talking about, because that in how do you tease that out from the drug problems we have and lack of jobs, that is all one big, I just call it a big mess. And to tease all that out and impact each one individual is very difficult. And so I think we have to be, like I said, intentional about how do we move people out of generational poverty. And those are things that I've started already discussing at the state level. And some in the Department of Human Services don't like what I have to say. They say, well, we already have things on the books. They're supposed to be working so many hours a week, and it's only supposed to be for 5 years that they're on aid. Well, that's just not what we see here in Southern Illinois. So I told them, I don't really care what's on the books. It's not working.
You know, one of the ideas in a campaign is that you take the time to tell the constituents, the voters, the taxpayers, what's the difference between you and your opponent. Differentiating yourself is crucial when it comes to a campaign. How would you differentiate yourself from your challenger, from the Republican Party?
That's a great question. And I say it comes down to what you mentioned earlier. He's been in politics for some time now, and politician. And this is, I've been in the private sector working, so I don't have a taste for, even though I've been in, I'm certainly no stranger to politics, for me, working in the private sector, having my ear very close to the ground, and I don't intend to run on political hot buttons. I say what I think, maybe a little too unfiltered sometimes, but I think people are I'm tired of political correctness. I think most people are. And I'm certainly tired of the rhetoric of blaming one person or one party for something when many have had a hand in the mess we're in here in the state of Illinois.
You know, I was telling, in a staff meeting yesterday, I said, you know, Tom Miller rule number four for life. To have a really good screw up, you need everybody's cooperation.
That's great, Tom.
And you'll, by the way, if you start applying that to a number of items we see going on, you find out, yeah, it's not inaccurate.
That's right.
So, Natalie Phelps Finney, she's the Democrat. She's the incumbent, 118th District. Not the last time we'll talk to you between now and November. I'm in particular, and I almost stopped today and realized I had an agenda this morning when it comes to getting all the questions asked about your meetings with economic development in southeastern Illinois. Very curious about that. We've had opportunities that have come up. And usually one thing or another has stopped it, and very often not. It was government. It was government regs.
That's right.
Whether it was a proposed chicken ranch, farming ranch, or a water park in Golconda, and all these ideas come down the pipe, and they never come to fruition. And you find out that usually one person or another in government entity has kind of done their role and stopping it for one reason or another.
Exactly. And I'm finding new things every day, Tom. My husband just brought me an issue yesterday. He sold cattle, and the gentleman that came over from Kentucky to pick up his cattle said, Kyle said, you have a different rig today. And he said, yes, sir, I do. He said, because I can only bring that other rig in three times to the state of Illinois. There's a three-trip limit on for the tax permit, for the fuel permit, which is ridiculous. Every state around us allows as many permits as you want, so you can bet that's the next bill I'm going to file.
Because it stifles commerce.
That's exactly right.